Word of God, I do want to encourage you to open it up with me, please, to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, we're going to look at chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, going to read verses 5 through verse number 8 in just a moment or two. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 through verse number 8. We are obviously having the Lord's Supper this morning, but before we do that, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to mention to you four things that we can think about this morning in regard to the table and the cross. If you would like to follow along with me, I've got the New King James Version of the Bible with me today, and you can see some sermon guide, note opportunities for you on the back of the bulletin. And so let me encourage you to notice those things. If you've found that portion of the Word of God of Isaiah 53, would you stand with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. Isaiah chapter number 53, beginning with verse number 5, the Bible says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, He was stricken." Pray with me, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we do love You, and we do thank You so much for being so good to us. God, we've been able to sing this morning about the grace of You, the good gift of salvation that has been made possible because of what Jesus has done upon the cross. And Father, we're grateful for that. God, we're grateful that He went to the cross. We're grateful that He gave His life. We're grateful that He sacrificed for our sinfulness. And we're grateful that He was resurrected from the dead. And Father, He is coming back again soon. God, until that day, You've told us to meet and You've told us to gather. And one of the things that You told us to do, Father, is to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And Father, we're going to do that this morning. So we pray that Your Holy Spirit might help us to see it and understand it as we think about it and then apply these elements to our lives. Father, we pray that it would truly be a worshipful time. Father, we thank You for this place to worship. God, we know it's warm in here this morning, but Father, we're grateful to have a place to come freely before You. God, freely without fear of persecution. God, just to spend time with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in worship, thinking about the good gifts that You've given. Lord, I pray that You'd use me today. Lord, I pray that You'd fill me with Your sweet Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that You'd give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As I've said, as you noticed when you came into the room, obviously today that we have a communion table that is pulled out here, and we know that underneath it is the elements of the Lord's Supper that we're going to distribute in just a moment or two. We do the Lord's Supper here at Parkside. We do it quarterly, four times a year, and typically we do it when there is a month that has a fifth Sunday in it. And so this is the fifth Sunday of the month of June, and so this morning that we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And what I typically do during this particular time is I bring to you a passage of Scripture, and then we'll make some observations about it. But this morning, you are going to be the ones that are going to preach this message. You are preaching this message to yourself. You are preaching this message to the neighbor that is sitting beside you. And we are grateful for what our Savior has done for us. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the passage that we've read in Isaiah chapter number 53. And there are four things that I want to call to your attention just briefly this morning. I'll touch on them, and then we'll distribute the elements of the Lord's Supper. Four things that we need to understand, or at least be thinking about this morning in regards to the table and the cross. And we're going to see those things right here in the Word of God. And so, notice with me what the text says. I want you to spend time with me in verse number 5. We read it just a moment or two, but notice what verse number 5 says. Verse number 5, it talks about a piercing. It talks about piercing, verse number 5. The text says this: He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes, the text says, we are healed. These verses of Scripture, they speak to us about a piercing. Now, as Isaiah is the prophet, and he is the one that the Holy Spirit is using to pen these words for us to read at worship times, is that we know for Isaiah the prophet, it's something that was very personal for him. It was personal for him. He recognized and he understood that the suffering of Christ, it was not just a random occurrence. The suffering of Christ was not something that he did, that he deserved to suffer. It was something that was done for us as a substitution. It was substitutionary. His piercing was substitutionary for you and for me. The text tells us that he was pierced. When you think about him being pierced, we recognize, of course, the amount of pain that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through when he was crucified. And we think about that crucifixion. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ had great nails driven through his hands and nails that were driven through his feet and a crown of thorns that was upon his head that literally pierced his body. He suffered anguish. He suffered pain. He suffered a terrible ordeal, but he did that for you and for me. It was substitutionary. His piercing was substitutionary for you, meaning that he died in your place upon the cross. We are grateful. We sung, Andy led us in singing about God's amazing grace, and that's exactly what it is. We know that Jesus suffered and that Jesus died a substitutionary death upon Calvary's cross so that you would not have to suffer and you would not have to endure the pain of that. He did it in your place. It was substitutionary. The second thing I want us to notice about this passage is not only was it substitutionary, but it speaks about a repentance. It was a substitutionary thing, a piercing, but it also speaks about repentance. And you see that, or I see that, in verse number 6. Notice what verse number 6 says. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that just like us? To go astray. To know where we should be. To know where we should be in life. To be people that are sinless in life. We know that we should not commit sin. We know that we ought not break God's commandments. We ought not break God's rules. We ought to live a life that is honorable unto the Lord God of heaven. But none of us do that. All we like sheep, the text says, has gone astray. All of us have turned to our own way. Every one of us. But what has God done? Because every single one of us have turned our backs on God and have turned astray, what's God's response to that? God's response to that, dear friend, is He loves you. He loves you enough to send Jesus to go to the cross. And that's what it's talking about here in verse number 6. And it says, "And the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all." You see, God loves you enough to send Jesus to go to the cross, to die upon the cross, so that you might have the opportunity of experiencing God's forgiveness. Have you ever hurt someone in this world? I have. You know, I think about those times that I've done things that brought my wife pain and brought misery and displeasure into her life. And those times that I've had to say, "You know, sweetheart, I'm sorry for doing this. Would you forgive me?" And thank God she has, right? And that restores our relationship together. We're no longer at it with one another. We are restored together. And in the same way it is with the Father, and even much worse with the Father, because all of our sin is against Him. You're a sinner. You have turned your back on God. You have fallen short of what God wants from you. And without God, you are unsaved. But if you believe in God, if you put your trust in God, you can become saved if you repent of your sinfulness. Many of us in this room this morning, we are saved. And we're saved not because we found our way back to God. We're simply saved because we recognize His grace and we recognize His mercy and we came to Him and we repented of our sins and said, "Oh God, would you forgive me for these terrible deeds and these terrible acts that I have committed? Would you forgive me?" And He has done. And what this ordinance is about this morning is the fact that He did give His life. And He did shed His blood, and He did that substitutionarily for you so that you can experience God's forgiveness. And you can experience God's forgiveness if you ask Him for it. Friend, if you've never asked Him for it, please do so. That's what this is about. It's about repentance. What is the third thing that we see in this passage of Scripture? Not only is it about piercing, and not only is it about repentance, but it's about choosing. Drop down in your text and notice what it says in verse 7. It says this in verse 7. He, Jesus, was oppressed, and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and just like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. I'm impressed with that. What's verse 7 about? It's about choosing. Verse 7 is about choosing. Did you notice that it talks about Jesus being oppressed and Jesus being afflicted? And it says that He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And what was His response to that? Well, the text says that He opened not His mouth. He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb is silent before its shearers, He opened not His mouth. Who was Jesus? Was literally God in the flesh, right? And God in the flesh could have ended the cross just like that. God in the flesh could have spoken and called down 10,000s of thousands of angels to put an end to it right then and there. God could have said, "I'm not doing this. These people are not worthy of suffering and death and dying. these people are not worthy of my pain. But God didn't do that. Christ was quiet. He went to the cross. Why did he do that? Here's the amazing thing for me. He did that because he chose me. Chose me. He wanted Rick Hillard to have everlasting life. He wanted Rick Hillard to experience God's grace. He wanted Rick Hillard to experience the blessing that God has to offer. That's why he did it. He chose me. You know else who he chose? He chose you. He wants you to experience God's grace. He wants you to experience God's blessing. He wants you to experience God's best. It's about choosing. Jesus went to the cross voluntarily, laying down his life so that you might have the opportunity to experience eternal life. That is God's blessing. Look at verse 8. In verse number 8, we see this. It's about saving. It's about saving. The text, it says, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. I like what he says there. Isaiah writes in verse number 8, who will declare his generation? Who will declare his generation? What is he asking there in that question? He's asking this. Who really understood what was happening with Jesus going to go to the cross? Who really had a handle on that? Well, you know who has a handle on that? Those of us that choose to believe. We've got a handle on it. I've chosen to believe in Jesus and his death upon the cross and his providing for me eternal life. You see, Jesus was cut off, the text says, from the land of the living, not for his sin, but for ours. It's about saving. I'm a child of God. He has saved me. I understand that. And the Bible reminds me that if I understand that, I need to declare it. I need to tell these generations, right? How about you? Do you understand that? Are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, you should rejoice and tell to the world what Jesus has done for you. He has chosen you, and you have chosen him, and you've entered into a covenant relationship together. And a covenant relationship together, you need to share it with the world. And that's what this is about, right? We're going to handle the elements of the Lord's Supper in just a moment or two. There's going to be juice, and there's going to be unleavened bread. Nothing magical, really. It's grape juice, and it's unleavened bread. But that grape juice is going to be symbolic for us, right? It will be symbolic for us. And when we handle it, we're going to understand that Jesus shed his blood so that we might have forgiveness for our sins. The scripture does declare, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sins. But Jesus shed his blood so that you might experience forgiveness if you ask God for it. And then we're going to handle also unleavened bread. Just a little cube of unleavened bread, and that's exactly what it is. But it's going to remind us that Jesus gave his body for us. I like the idea that we hold consistent with what the Bible teaches, that it is grape juice. It is unleavened bread. You see, there's no fermenting that has taken place in the juice. It's just that. It's just juice. Just like there was no decay in the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's unleavened bread. In the Scripture, leaven was always symbolic of that which would represent sin. And this is unleavened bread. There's no leaven in it. There's no sinfulness in the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this morning I want you to know that he has chosen you. Have you chosen him? If not, you should. And I pray that you will. So here's what we're going to do is we're going to have an invitation, give you an opportunity to prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ and you want to do that this morning. Tell me about that. Maybe you need to come and talk to the Father about something this morning to really prepare your heart for worship today. We want to encourage you to do that. And so I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Musicians are going to be in their spot. We're going to have an invitation time, opportunity for you to respond to what God has spoken to you. And then just after that, we'll distribute the elements and we'll observe the Lord's Supper. Pray with me if you would.